Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. Thanks for being part of my day. It's my pleasure, as always, as you know. And we got some... you're going to be glad you hung out with us, too, because Josh Costell is back with us. Josh is the author of The Science of Sales Success. He's an outstanding marketplace practitioner. He's been with us many times before to talk to us over the years about how to make sure that we put our best foot forward in the marketplace, especially in the area of salespeople, managing our salespeople. And he's here to talk to us about some of that right now. Josh, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Good morning.
It's good to have you back. I think I mentioned, folks, his book is The Science of Sales Success. And now, have you got another one out, Josh?
Not yet.
Okay, you're working on that, though, right?
Someone already took the sequel to Gone with the Wind, so I had to change halfway through.
I got you. You know, I told the audience that you were going to talk to us about how to know when it was time to cut a salesperson loose. When have you gone as far as you can go? And I do want to talk about that in a minute. But before we get there, in the spirit of the season of Halloween, I want you to you've got another angle that you want to start out with, and go ahead.
Yes, what I wanted to talk about, which is sort of one's the post side of this. This would be the pre side, which is what makes interviewing a salesperson so scary when you're trying to find that salesperson as a small business owner, and how to take the fright out of it. I thought it would be a good Halloween topic.
Right.
Because what you don't want to have happen is that the last job they ever sell is your opening. You know, and that often is the case. And the challenge that you have with salespeople that have gone on interviews is that they know what you want to hear. They really do. They know all the generalities of about what...
They know how to interview, don't they?
They do. Because a sales call in many parts... is really nothing more than an interview, and this is nothing more than a sale to them. So the real issue is how do you really find out what you're getting? And I wanted to talk to you about that real quick. It's called a concept called situational interviewing, where you say typically an interview goes something like this, Jim. You know, tell me what are the reasons why you're successful, and the person will say, well, I know how to sell value, and I find out the customer's buying criteria, and I understand the competitor's weakness, so I know how to offset low price. And, you know, when the business owner, the interviewer hears that, you know, he just gets all worked up and says, you're getting all lathered up, you know.
Exactly, that's like saying I love you, you know.
Right, yeah, exactly. And so how do you get past that? And the term, and probably goes by a lot of different names, and we used this years ago, is to make, when a person says to you, well, I showed where my offer had more value than my competitors, what you want to do is then stop the interview and say, okay, I want you to tell me and give me a specific example. I'd like to know the names of who you were calling on. I'd like to know the positions. I'd like to know the dollar value. I'd like to know the name of the competitor.
You're talking about putting them on the hot seat.
Making them deal with the facts. And that way, as the interviewer, can make your own judgment. Did they really sell it on value, or was there some other reason?
In case they might not want to talk about names, what would be wrong with saying, you know what, I'm glad to hear that you know the key, the important parts of selling. You know the real keys to being successful in selling. But what I'd like for you to do is give me specifics. Talk to me, give me some examples and sort of let them start out by explaining it to you, because they might not want to tell you that it was this was ABC, you know, whatever. There may be some reason why they wouldn't want to tell you who the exact company was. But could you maybe you could get them to do that, but maybe to start out by saying, well, give me a specific example. Explain a scenario to me. Tell me about one of the examples where you use that.
Right, exactly. But details, because it'll be hard for them to hold their story together. Or another thing that becomes very effective, Jim, is if you have won or lost a job to them, ask them their version of it.
Right. All right, that's a good point. You mean in their current job, so to speak.
Right. If they beat you on a job or you beat them, ask them what they knew about it.
How did that happen? Stand by. Quick break with Josh Chastel, and he and I will be right back after these messages. It's 20 Till. Stay with us.
Think of the things we've done together while our hearts were young.
Every time you kiss me, I'm still not certain that you love me. Every time you hold me, I'm still not certain that you care.
Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Lysingame, the Small Business Advocate. Having a great visit with our good friend Josh Chastel, the author of The Science of Sales Success. And we're talking about when you interview a salesperson, you know, how do you make sure that you're doing the right thing? You know, Josh, the reason this is such an important topic is because it falls back into this falls in perfectly with one of my little topics that I spend a lot of time talking about, and my audience already knows what I'm going to say, and that's how not too darn good we are, small business owners, with human resources. We're not that darn good at hiring people and you know, doing the whole HR process. It's just not something that we're all that good at. And it's not because we don't, you know, obviously we care a lot. It has a lot to do with the fact that it's not something that we've learned. It also has more to do with the fact that we got so much to do, we don't have time to do all these other things. And so any kind of help we can get and any kind of tips and tools we can have to help us do a better job when we start hiring somebody, when we start the process of hiring somebody, is always beneficial. And Josh, no more critical is this than when you hire your first salesperson.
Absolutely, Jim. And so
you're making a big leap of faith.
And probably your biggest investment.
Well, not only an investment directly, but you're changing your whole system, because up to now, you've had 100% of the relationships with your customers.
Right.
If you hire a salesperson, you're going to have to dilute some of that and turn loose of some things, and that's not easy to do either, and you really need to make sure you do a good job.
Yeah, and in that light, I found a couple of things when you talk about tips that maybe we could just throw out two or three to the audience for their use. One of them I like doing, and something that you hit on, is I like to say, without getting into the names, I like asking the candidates, tell me what other industries you're interviewing in and what other positions, because I want to find out, do they love sales or are they backing into it?
Right.
You know, because, you know, if
That's
you find out
question.
That
That's
they're going
point.
For a sales position in one interview and they're going for a marketing or account or you know, a purchasing manager or another, you got to say, okay, this person doesn't know what they're doing.
They're only here because they know I need a salesperson.
Right. And then the other thing that I found that seems to be a pretty good litmus test, if I have a good candidate, obviously there's other things, is I make vague comments or I use initials or acronyms that I don't think they'll know. And if they don't stop me to ask me what that was, then I know they're probably not the right person. Because one of the things is to be naturally and confidently inquisitive in a sales role.
For example, say something like, well, you know, one of the things that's going on here, we're very excited about a new project we're working on. Something like that?
Or if you say, you know, one of the things that we find about this new project is that it's really going to have an impact on our HVAC system.
Right.
And then the person will have a discussion with you, and then you go, by the way, do you know what HVAC stands for? And they go, no. You go, well, why didn't you ask me?
Yeah, exactly. That's not a very curious person. You don't want salespeople who aren't curious.
Right, exactly.
Curiosity may be the most valuable component of a successful salesperson. There's another thing, Josh, that I've done over the years, and I've used this in more than just in interviewing salespeople, but it's especially good with salespeople, and that's the way they answer the question about being paid, about compensation, about how much they earn or want to earn.
Right.
If you say to them, okay, how much do you want to earn while you're here? What are your expectations? How much money do you need to make? That kind of thing. Those kinds of questions. If they say to you, I want to make $500 a week, my last job I made $450 a week, I'd like to make $500 a week. That tells me one thing. If they say, well, I'd like to make $3,000 a month, or whatever, then that tells me something else. But if that person says, you know what, in my last job I made $48,000, I'd like to make $72,000 in this business. Can I do that? Well, guess which one I'm hiring.
Right, exactly.
I'm hiring the last one because I want a salesperson. I want to, especially managers or salespeople, I want their horizon, their vision to be farther down the road than this week or this month. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. They got to feel that this is a vehicle for their success. If they come here, this is, the vehicle, not the gravy train, right?
Right, exactly.
So,
what else?
Yeah,
what are some other tips?
Well, I think the other one is, I like, asking, them when they, when things are going wrong or when they're not meeting their goals, how would they like to be managed? Because I want to see if they're going to bail them out.
What would be a good answer to that question?
Well, I don't know if there's a good answer. The answer that I seek is when someone tells me when things aren't going good, what I like to do, I look for an answer where someone says, well, what I like to do with you, Josh, or Jim, what I would like to do with you is go over my plan. Let you look at my plan, then I like to go through with you on how I'm trying, and could you come with me to see how I'm executing it, and then can we regroup? What I don't want is someone to say, well, I would count on you to help me straighten it out.
Right.
I don't want to be there. I can't be their commitment.
Right. But I would want them to say, I'd want you to, I'd want to make sure that you were involved in how we work this out. I would want them to say that. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. I'm going to ask Josh, how do you know once you hire this person, how do you know that you've done everything you can do to make them successful and it's still not working out? What do you do then? When do you know that? Stand by. 10-2. It's getting near dawn. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Josh Costell, the author of The Science of Sales Success. Josh, give us your website, please.
It's www.measuremax.com. Measure to maximize.
All right. Measuremax.com.
Yes.
That's where you can find the book. Can they find the book online, too, as well?
Yes, on Amazon and other sponsors that you have.
Right, exactly. What happens if we hire a salesperson and it's just not working out? I mean, at what point in time do we say, when can we assure ourselves that we've done everything we can do and that the thing's just not going to work?
Good question. And the real issue there, Jim, is that if we're just going to look at results, then we're going to find out that we'll end up judging performance, not influencing it. And often that's the barometer someone uses. How much sales did you make? That's all I care about. But when you hire someone new and you have a salesperson, you want to look at the front end of that equation, and that is, to me, I call it the bar theory, which is behaviors times activities equal results.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of the behaviors? So when you're trying to decide when do I pull the plug? You want to look at, okay, what are the behaviors? Do they have the right work ethic? Are they naturally inquisitive? What are the activities? Are they making 8 sales calls a week? Are they are they going out and putting out, you know, 4 proposals? Are they going out in meeting with the key decision makers? And is it just a function of time that you're working through right now? And if it is, you know, I always tell my people, I'll hold my breath for a while on the results if you show me you have the right behaviors and activities.
Right. Because there are things that happen that are beyond everyone's, at least the salesperson's control. Maybe the company's done something dumb, or the marketplace is in a transition, or whatever. There could be some other things that happen. But as long as you say, as long as the person has the right skills and they're applying those skills and they're exercising those skills with the activity, at least you can see that the results, you know, if they're not coming, you know, you can sort of pinpoint what happened.
Right, exactly. And, you know, and when you talk about external factors, you often have to look at what's the sales cycle of what you're selling. Is it 2 weeks decision-making process? Is it a 6-month decision-making process? That's the toughest one when you're working with salespeople. You know, do you have the – that's when you really got to look at behaviors and activities, when you have long sales cycles.
Right, exactly. Yeah, because, I mean, a sales cycle for a pair of socks is like 10 seconds –
right.
And for a battleship, it's 10 years.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jim.
Well, one of my favorite. I wish I still had this, and I guess it's around somewhere. Have you ever seen the excuse a day thing where somebody came up with all the different excuses salespeople could have? And there's one for every day of the year. Well, all 365 and 1/4 days a year. You know, there's, you know, when
that
it rained a day,
was me,
or
Jim.
What?
That somebody was me.
Yeah. Well, we've all done it. You know, I mean, I've done it before. And but I mean, everybody who manages salespeople should have that list and just say, okay, let me turn over to see which, you know, what day is this for that excuse? Because there's always an excuse, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, but in there, you know, I mean, I haven't met a salesperson yet that didn't sell on value and lost on price.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, in their mind, you know, they've always, you know, there's always a reason why they lost that had nothing to do with them being outsold.
What about training by your own company? What is, at some point in time, if things aren't working out with your salesperson, how do you determine that you've given them enough training? You've done your job in terms of giving them the resources that they need.
Well, here's the way I do that, Jim. I look at, do they have the message of value down? That's my role. My role is to teach them what is the message of value that we're offering as a company or as
our product. The core reason why somebody should do business with us.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That's my job, to teach them that, and then to also point out to them who are the customers or clients that are most likely to say yes to our message of value. Now, if I've done those two things, I really think it's their job to connect them.
Right, exactly. Especially if you've done the right job of hiring. But remember what we talked about first, folks. You've got to make sure that you get the right people, because if you hire the wrong people, you can't expect them to become the right people. Hey, Josh, thank you for being here. Good job today.
Thank you, Jim.
Josh Costell, ladies and gentlemen, the author of The Science of Sales Success. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.